Master of the universe, may it be your will, compassionate and gracious God, that you grant me the merit today and every day to guard my mouth and tongue from speaking Lashon Hara and Rikulis. And may I be zealous not to speak ill, even of an individual, and certainly not of the entire Jewish people or a portion of it. And even more so, may I be zealous not to complain about the ways of the Holy One, blessed be He. May I be zealous not to speak words of falsehood, flattery, strife, anger, arrogance, hurt, embarrassment, mockery, and all other forbidden forms of speech. Grant me the merit to speak only that which is necessary for my physical and spiritual well-being, and may my deeds and words be for the sake of heaven. Good evening. This is part two of the laws of proper speech. Didn't quite get everything that I needed to say on the last podcast because I'm still trying to figure out how to use GarageBand. So I just wanted to speak some more about the laws of proper speech, so I'm calling this part two. And mostly what I'm going to be concentrating on today is the Sefer HaFetzim and a few other insights from Rabbi Zvi Freeman and a few others. So first of all, at the beginning of this podcast and the previous one, I read a prayer written by the HaFetzim, and I just want to read a little bit about this particular prayer. In his work, Chovos HaShmira, the obligation of guarding one's tongue, the HaFetzim recommends that one recite a daily prayer for divine assistance in fulfilling the requirements of proper speech. Note that Sifra, Devarim 24:9, cites a scriptural source for verbal remembrance of the prohibition against speaking Lashon Hara. The HaFetzim comments that recital of this prayer is a form of remembrance, which in itself helps one maintain vigilance in Shmirash Halashon. The following prayer is drawn from a much lengthier prayer formulated by the HaFetzim. It was prepared by the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yehuda Zev Segal. May his memory be a blessing. Okay, so at the beginning of this, let me just say this, and I kind of alluded to this on my previous podcast, part one of the laws of proper speech. And this is kind of like, it needs to be at the forefront of just about every thought if we want the world to be a better place. And since we're in this 3 weeks, a time of mourning for the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, which, why did we lose the Beit HaMikdash? Why was it destroyed? Well, it was because of baseless hatred and because of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara leads to baseless hatred. So, how do we change the world? We change ourselves. So, part of changing ourselves is guarding our speech, guarding our tongue. The tongue is very unwieldy. You can't tame the tongue, so all we can do is try to guard our tongue and watch what we say on a daily basis. So this section that I'm going to read here is also from the HaFetzim, A Daily Companion. The Concepts and Laws of Proper Speech is formulated by Sefer HaFetzim. Day 2. This book is just so everybody knows, this book is separated into daily sections for the laws of proper speech, 128 of them. So this is day two. I read day one on the previous podcast. Previously, the Hafez Haim explained the true source of this ongoing exile. He stated that the sins of Lashon Hara and Sinas Hinam, baseless hatred, of past generations would not cause Hashem to withhold His presence from us. It is our own sins that keep Hashem from drawing near to us despite our constant prayers. The Hafez Haim says that if we analyze our sins, there is only one that can be so powerful as to cause Hashem not to redeem His beloved children, and that is the sin of Lashon Hara. It is simple logic. If Lashon Hara and the Sinas Hinam, which is baseless hatred, which it caused, had the negative spiritual power to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, then certainly it has the power to prevent the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The Hafez Haim brings many sources to support this point. In Parashat Shemot, the Torah relates the suffering of the Jews in Egypt. The Torah states that Moshe, who had grown up in Pharaoh's palace, went out among his people and shared their pain and suffering. In his wandering among the Jews, he encountered the notorious pair, Dathan and Aviram, who informed him after he killed an Egyptian who was attacking a Jew. Moshe said, "Now the matter is known." Shemot 2:14. The Midrash explains this to mean, "Now I understand why the Jewish people are in this terrible exile. It is because they speak Lashon Hara." The Hafez Haim also cites the episode of the spies who were sent to scout the land of Israel in preparation for the Jews' conquest of it. Their negative report was Lashon Hara against Hashem's holy, precious holy land. The Jews wept over this report on the night of Tishba Av, the ninth of Av, and it was this sin that ultimately led to the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. Hashem declared, "You wept in vain. I will establish this night as a night of weeping for all generations." The Hafez Haim cites further proof. The Torah states, "Cursed is he who attacks his friend secretly," in Devarim 27:24. As Rashi explains, this is a reference to Lashon Hara. A person who speaks Lashon Hara is cursed. The Talmud, Arakin 15b, goes further, comparing Lashon Hara to a denial of God. The Hafez Haim then offers his final point. The Midrash, Devarim Rabbah 6:14, states, Hashem says, "In this world, because there is Lashon Hara among you, I withdrew my presence from among you like a letter directly from Hashem, clear and unambiguous." The message of this statement is incredible. The Beit HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. The Shekinah, or the Divine Presence, is not in our midst because of the forbidden speech that we utter. Well, pretty strong statements there. That's the end of day two. I want to go back to this section here where the Hafez Haim provides further proof. The Torah states, "Cursed is he who attacks his friend secretly." Devarim 27:24. When you attack your friend secretly, is he really your friend? Why would you be speaking secretly Lashon Hara of your so-called friend? Why would you be being a talebearer and a tattletale and secretly speaking of another when he's not in your presence? Do you really know the damage that that does? The unintended consequences of speaking bad, negative speech about somebody when they're not around? So it's something that all of us, me included, everyone needs to think about before we speak negatively about someone. If we've had the thought and the words are on our tongue, then it's almost too late. If the thought is in our mind, it's almost too late. So we have to train our mind to speak positive about other individuals. Speak positive, speak life. Bring life into that individual. Change that individual by positive speech. But first, we have to change ourselves. We can't even think about changing the world or someone else if we don't first change ourselves. Okay, so I also wanted to go on to day three, HaSatan's accomplice. The Chafetz Chaim has stated and proven beyond any doubt that the sin of Lashon Hara, which was the cause of the Second Temple's destruction, is the factor which up to this day has prevented us from being redeemed through Mashiach's arrival. The question is why? How could this one sin be so destructive? To understand the severity of Lashon Hara and its ramifications, one must first understand the judicial system in heaven through which the Jewish people are judged. The Chafetz Chaim explains that the heavenly judicial process is initiated by words which the Jews speak on this world. Our negative conversations are the key which opens the door for HaSatan, cursed be he, to prosecute. As the Zohar states in Parasha Shalach, this sin brings plague. I'll say that again. This sin brings plague. Think about where we are in the world today. Sword and murder to this world. Woe to those who awaken this evil force, who do not guard their tongues and pay no heed to this. They do not realize that the ways of heaven are reflective of the ways of this world, both for good and for bad, through evil talk. HaSatan, cursed be he, is aroused to voice accusation against the entire world. In this vein, Chafetz Chaim explains that the teaching, Arachin 15b, whoever speaks Lashon Hara raises sins to the heavens, should be taken literally. When we speak negatively of our fellow Jews, this causes the sins of our people to be noted in heaven, where they are brought before the heavenly throne for judgment. We think we're merely chatting, when in reality we're delivering the day's caseload to HaSatan. Cursed be he. The Chafetz Chaim offers a second reason why Lashon Hara is so damaging. Because Lashon Hara utilizes the power of speech to do its damage. It corrupts this faculty and prevents our Torah and tefillah, prayer, from ascending heavenward. The Chafetz Chaim envisions the sacred words that pour forth from a mouth corrupted by Lashon Hara. He sees them as heading upward towards our heavenly bank accounts, but never quite getting there. We believe we have accomplished something spiritually, but that's not what happened. And the Chafetz Chaim says, all the words of Torah and tefillah are hanging somewhere between heaven and earth, suspended in the air. He concludes, if our Torah and tefillah are not credited to us, then from where will we acquire the necessary merit to bring Mashiach and the final redemption? Strong words there. We think we're merely chatting, when in reality we're delivering the day's caseload to HaSatan. Wow. That's pretty strong there. So let's think about some other things here with respect to that. A couple of days ago, In fact, back on the 21st of July, Shomerman sent me something that kind of lines up quite nicely with what I've been talking about with the laws of proper speech. And this is from Rabbi Trugman in Devarim, his insights on Devarim. Words that emanate from the heart, enter the heart, based on Berakot 6b. This simple but powerful saying resonates especially forcefully when applied to the book of Deuteronomy, whose Hebrew name, Devarim, derives from its opening verse. These are the words, Devarim, that Moshe spoke to all Israel. Moshe began reciting the book of Devarim on the first day of the month of Shavuot, and according to tradition, he died on the 7th of Adar. Therefore, he transmitted the entire book to the children of Israel in just 37 days, alluding to the fact that these words came straight from Moshe's heart. The numerical value of the Hebrew phrase, the heart, halev, is 37. Excuse me. As Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg has noted, permuting the letters of halev may produce the following idiom. Havel, halev, lahav, which means the vapor of the heart is inflamed. When the heart is inflamed and inspired, the vapor of energy it produces fulfill the dictum that words that emanate from the heart enter the heart. We are taught that the Torah was given in fire, as Mount Sinai was on fire until the heart of heaven, Deuteronomy 4:11. So too, when we speak words of Torah, they should reflect this level of passionate intensity, which in turn enters the hearts of those listening and awakens their souls. So, think about that last part. So, too, when we speak words of Torah, they should reflect this level of passionate intensity, which in turn enters the hearts of those listening and awakens their souls. Are we speaking Torah while we're speaking Lashon Hara in our hearts towards another person? Are we speaking Lashon Hara verbally about another person without him present? Even if he's present, does that justify Lashon Hara towards that person? No, it doesn't. So, with that in mind, are we speaking pure words of Torah, or are they tainted with the sin of Lashon Hara? And as we've already seen and heard from the Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara can prevent those words of Torah and your tefillah from even entering heaven. They're suspended in the air because of the sin of Lashon Hara. So very, very strong words. So let's talk about some other things here. I want to share something from Rabbi Zvi Freeman. To give is to receive. To receive is to give. To teach is to learn. To learn is to teach. To love is to be loved. To be loved is to love. In this world, there cannot be any person or place or thing or even a moment in time that only receives or only gives. And if there is, it is for us to heal. And then we will be healed. How can we be healed? How can I heal myself so that I can change the world? How can I change myself so I can change the world? Healing really starts with our speech, with our tongue. Are we so wrapped up in Lashon Hara that we don't even realize we're speaking it anymore on a daily basis? Are we caught up in the water cooler talk where we talk about that quiet guy down in the corner office who doesn't say anything to anybody, or that one guy that dresses differently than everybody else, or he's different than us? Does that give us permission to speak poorly of anybody? No, not really. All we're doing is we're preventing our own. We can't even say that we can pray and God will hear our prayers as long as there's Lashon Hara in our heart. So really, it's up to us to think about how we want to change ourselves, and that begins with our speech. If our speech is marred and tainted and coming out of a sewer, then we can't expect us individually to change the world. It starts with our speech. I can't emphasize that enough. Remember, we're all dust and ash. I'm Dustin, just dust and ash. I come out of almost 42 years of being involved with submarine sailors, and I was a submariner myself, so everybody knows it's kind of a known thing that a sailor's speech is usually in the gutter. So I got to work on it. I got to work on it every day, because that's where I come from. Okay. Also from Rabbi Zvi Freeman. Excuse me. At another time in another place, when people sinned, they fasted and cried and beat themselves until they would never sin again. In our times, that is not the path. In our times, even when you've fallen into the deepest, darkest pit, pick yourself up as though nothing happened. Don't beat yourself over what you've done. Don't waste a second to think, who was I? What am I? You're as worthy as anyone else. On the contrary, the one who made you admires you even more. You have risen above yourself and your failures. How do we rise above ourselves and our failures? Well, we can start by changing our speech. We can start by changing how we speak about others. Okay, this is from Rabbi Ariel Ben Zadok. And I want to go ahead and end with this. Never allow words to anger you. Deflect them. Neutralize their power. Do not give others power over you to harm you or control you through the words that they speak. Words have the power that one gives them. Remain calm. Stay balanced. Your calmness and your balance will cause your opponent to lose his calm and his balance. Thus weakened, your opponent is easily defeated. Master yourself. Guard your tongue. Wisdom unites with action and creates peace. Rabbi Ariel Ben Zadok. And with that, I'm signing out. Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai.